Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Martha Rulo. We want this to be the best year ever for all our friends, our family, and loyal listeners worldwide.
Welcome to Joyce, Barry, and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower, with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into Joyce Barry and Friends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber and even a fan by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is joycebarry.com. Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner. And then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever.
Your best year ever. And we are talking to you. Folks, we have a fascinating show today with an extraordinary guest. Today we have Martha Rulo. She was Teacher of the Year, and today she is going to teach us about the science of mindfulness. We will learn what it is and what is the value of mindfulness to our brain, our body, ourselves. We will also discover why it is so valuable with enhancing personal well-being and resilience. Get inspired to cultivate more mindfulness informally and formally. Mindfulness has come to generate so much national and international attention. Today, Martha Rulo hopes that it will capture your attention. It certainly captured mine. I mean, goodness, years ago, there was barely a whisper in my world. Now I hear it all the time, here, there, and everywhere. Welcome to the show, Martha Rulo.
Well, Joy, thank you. Such a pleasure to be here. I'm always glad to have the opportunity to share and talk about the benefits of mind-body awareness and how it can really impact our lives individually. And I also believe it really can impact the world. So I'm happy to be here. I got involved with mindfulness when I had something happen to me personally in my family with my son who experienced a real serious accident. And I, you know, have shared before that I just was really committed to this not being one of those giant tidal waves that or big storm that unfortunately we've had recently along the panhandle. That I wasn't going to let it, have any impact on my family, and I knew I needed to take care of myself. It was going to be a wave that I had to learn to surf. So that's how I got
Martha, excuse me, but what, if you don't mind sharing, what was that so impacted your life and transformed it? Do you mind sharing that with us?
No, I don't. It was my middle son who fell from a third floor balcony, and it wasn't
wow.
suicide. And to see and to remember where I was standing when we got the phone call. He was out of state and feeling like everything totally paused and was in slow motion, and knowing he had 50% chance to live. I was like, this is big. The good news is, this was about 12 years ago. The good news is that he got married 2 years ago. He is impacted, but he really has been able to live independently. But right then,
how old was he at the time?
He was 22.
Wow, what a scary thing. Kudos to you, Martha, for taking it and turning it into a positive experience. I always talk about the importance of making that lemonade out of that lemon, and you did that big time. Congratulations.
Thank you, Joyce. And you know what was interesting for me at that point in time was, you know, I had considered myself very self-reliant and independent and, you know, had perhaps created a bit of a shell around myself with not needing, you know, others. And that experience really taught me to value others and to really receive. And I think that without understanding, and that's where mindfulness comes in, that we truly are relational beings, you know, touching and being touched by the world around us. And so with these relationships, we're asked to understand, too. It's almost like a disparity, but we have to understand that we can be a refuge to ourselves, but we also have to understand what it means together with others as kindness, as the guiding intention. So I was involved with, you know, a little some uncomfortability because I was wanting to manage the situation by myself, but the tension in my body. And then understanding that, well, wait a minute, I can receive as well, too. So the mind, body, so that's where I got involved with seeing some of these patterns inside myself and saying, wow, you know, how can I maneuver everything? But it required me to become more mindful of myself, which meant recognizing these thought patterns. It meant recognizing when my body was tight and constricted and feeling stressed and was I receiving what was coming in? So that began the journey as well as the neuroscience, because as we all know, with traumatic brain injury, the brain has an injury. And the brain will, thanks to its ability to be neuroplastic, will change and grow and figure out how to create new neurons and new pathways in order to heal. I believe, Joyce, that healing happens. We sometimes just have to get out of the way of the body for the healing to happen, you know? So anyway, moving on, the neuroscience really of my son's recovery and my experience of going through the emotional element and the physical element of taking care of him brought me to recognize that I too can be, you know, an instrument of healing, but I have to know myself first. So
absolutely.
Mindfulness
needs, to thine own self be true.
Yeah, right. So mindfulness really requires us to, an official definition is, pay attention on purpose, non-judgmentally, in the present moment. So you can imagine one of the, there's mind-brain training, and the brain is like a muscle. We can train it, and that's where the mindfulness practice of focusing on the breath, typically that's where is a very typical place to go, particularly in mindfulness meditation. When our mind begins to think and wander or we feel emotions, we can bring our awareness back to the sensations of our body specifically, or we can bring our sensations back to the expanding on the inhalation of the body and the receding on the exhalation as a way to have an anchor point for the mind. And that is really the, you know, the beginning of how we can help ourselves come back to this moment, because our body is the only thing that can be present. It's our sensations in this moment, what we experience in this moment is the only thing that's present. And our mind will take us to worrying in the future and will take us, worrying in the future or, you know, kind of, what should I say, ruminating, you know, depression in the past. So that's part of who we are as human beings, but we have an opportunity to work with ourselves so that we don't have to live all the time in these states, kind of being hijacked by our mind and by our thoughts. We can see them and we can still come back and hold them without living them.
And what I've discovered about mindfulness, if you really got to bring yourself to that point of focus, it doesn't happen just naturally to be in the present moment. We're so used to focusing on the future, worrying about the past. So all there ever is the present moment, and very few people get to enjoy it. Hence, the science of mindfulness is so important.
Right. Right. And that's, said beautifully, Joyce, in that, and it really, 1970s was when Jon Kabat-Zinn he's a doctor, PhD doctor, and he was at the UMass Medical School, and there were doctors that were working with patients with chronic pain, and they got to a point where these patients really weren't improving. And so it became, how can we help them have quality of life, even though they're, you know, living with this pain? So John developed a 8-week program, mindfulness-based stress reduction. And through that program, through mind-body awareness of movement, gentle mindful movement, and a variety of meditation techniques, these patients were able to train their brain so that there was a significant change in the, the neuron pathways in the brain so that they could find a little bit more ease. And so from that, it really kind of has moved a lot into the medical field, from working with cancer patients to eczema. They've even come out with 8-week programs, mindfulness-based art therapy. It then went more to mental health with, in the 80s, mindfulness-based cognitive therapy. And since then, it's gone into education. So people are working, but I want to kind of highlight just one point, Joyce, and you mentioned it or alluded to it, is that, you know, it's training the mind. So there are these formal practices of mindfulness, and mindfulness meditation is one avenue where we purposefully are really trying to change the habituated pathways of the brain. So that requires us being very aware and sitting down and exercising, just like if you go to the gym. And that's when you can get the long-lasting change. And that's what was shown over that eight-week program. There's also the informal practices, which are just as valuable because I call them purposeful pauses, where you become aware of what your feet feel like when you walk up the stairs. You know, for me at work, it was going through the, you know, the doorways. You know, every time I went through a doorway, it was like, oh, I've transitioned. And just bringing myself back, it was, you know, it was a quick transition, but it was like instead of being in my head thinking about the next meeting where I was going, I was like, okay, I've just walked, or holding on to the doorknob, feeling the sensations. So there's both avenues, but to really work with the neuroscience of it and to make longer-lasting changes, it does need to become a formal practice. We need to do it formally.
How did you develop a passion?
I know originally what motivated you to be involved with mindfulness, but the passion has been present ever since. Why is that?
Because I would think, yeah, because I saw the change that, you know, was able to come about. And Joyce, as I, you know, as I shared, I have this big heart and this sense of, real strong sense of altruism that although we live here in this world individually, we're here to love. And if I cannot be the best person that I am, you know, what impact am I having on everyone else around me? And I think we change one person at a time and one relationship at a time. So I never, ever minimize small steps, one conversation, and what impact, what ripple effect that will have. So it's part of my nature of who I am, but I did experience a change of well-being and a sense of ease, knowing that I did not have to be thrown about, strewn about, because life happens. Life happens, and we can't control that, and that's the hard part of being scary. To say, I can't control this situation. What am I going to do? And I, you know, usually in those fear places, we want to do something and it might not be the right thing to do. So through my mindfulness, I cultivated space for me to pause so that I could make the next best decision as opposed to having it be a reaction. So when I felt the impact of me in my personal life, saw the impact it had on my family, which of course they all were impacted with you know, my son's injury and what does this mean and the questions, saw that one person can have an impact. And I think that's how we truly are going to be the best citizens we can be, if I can use that word, the best citizens we can be for humanity.
I would just say the best human beings we could be, citizen or
yes.
No citizen. The
right,
best
right,
human
right.
being, anywhere, right. anytime, any place. I know you were nominated Teacher of the Year. I know that. But I understand you're teaching mindfulness now. Where are you doing that?
Right. There's several universities. I'm in Virginia right now. There's actually many universities. And what's exciting for me is that the University of Virginia has an initiative in conjunction with Penn State as well as University of Wisconsin at Madison. Both places have been a lot of research for an initiative for student flourishing. So they're teaching mindfulness there, mindfulness meditation. They have all kinds of mind-body movement. So they have yoga. They also have Qigong, Tai Chi. And William and Mary, College of William and Mary in Virginia is looking at, you know, again, supporting emotional resilience. So they there are teaching mindfulness meditation. They have yoga. They have Tai Chi. So they're offering these to students. So those are the two places that I'm in contact with and doing some work, but I don't want to just say that's the only place it's happening. It is just becoming more pervasive, which is wonderful. Particularly, Joyce, in this era of distraction where we believe that multitasking is the way to become more efficient.
Yes.
And the, you know, the draw of technology, and with this particular, this generation, I mean, my age, I'm what you call a digital immigrant. You know, I'm learning and always feeling a little bit behind, and these students are what they call digital natives because they've just been born into it. But the idea that the brain can handle, you know, multitasking, and that is not true. It can handle multitasking if we're working in the same part of the brain, which would be the physical, with a part of the brain, perhaps the cerebellum that's involved with, you know, physical things. So, yes, you can, you know, walk and you can do weights and you can even talk, and that, you know, that works well. But when you're trying to do some work and then all of a sudden you get the phone call and you're looking at your phone, your brain has actually switched tasks. So it takes energy to switch to a different task one. And then to try and come back to the initial task, you've already lost some of where you were at that first task because your brain had to switch and focus on the second task. So doing that, we really, you know, deplete our ability of, you know, our sense of efficiency. And that's where I think, you know, kind of memory issues come in too, because you're not focusing on one or the other. Now, evolutionarily, you know, females really, if you think about what they had to do, they were taking care, they were cooking, they were holding the young one, they were paying attention to perhaps cleaning, laundry, whatever. So that's, you know, evolutionarily a long time ago with a child rearing. Women, you know, have sometimes been said better at multitasking. No, it's only in that when you're operating in that part of the brain that's just doing physical tasks. Anytime you come, you know, you're trying to transfer between physical and cognitive, it becomes difficult. Men and women, supposedly, the research says, are the same. You know, men at that point in time just were focusing on, you know, the hunt and focusing on the price. It was actually, they didn't really have the same requirement. They had to be really in that old part of the brain of being hypervigilant to see where the prey was going to come from. So it is something, and there's a recent research out there which is fascinating. I kind of chuckle because my mom, who's 86, never likes me to talk to her when I'm in the car on my Bluetooth. You know, I'm not holding a phone, I'm on my Bluetooth. And I say to her, I say, "Mom, it's just like if you were sitting next to me." Well, lo and behold, that is not true. If someone is in your presence, so they are sitting next to you in the car, a little easier to pick up innuendos. And if you even need to just take a quick look to check out facial features, that's much easier for our brain as opposed to being in the car and on your Bluetooth. The brain has to work a little bit harder, so it's a little more distracted to pick up those normal things that we do, as we have the beautiful ability to do as human beings, of, you know, what's the face looking like or what's the tone in the voice. So I kind of chuckled. I haven't told her she's right yet, but I will tell her.
That's funny. That is funny. You mentioned several universities that are now getting into mindfulness. It's more and more out there. Specifically, just share again the ones where you are presently teaching.
I'm involved at both College of William and Mary and University of Virginia. So, right. So, again,
okay.
Now that I'm in Virginia, that's where I'm located. But I just would be remiss if we didn't recognize that this is just a national focus. Helping students recognize, as I said, you know, earlier, we're relational beings, but we have to recognize that it's okay to be alone, and we can cultivate skills so that we can be that refuge to ourselves. And additionally, once we're that refuge to ourselves, we also can learn what it means to be together with others in kindness. So I want to go back a little bit to that place of, you know, when we know ourselves, and I say know ourselves, experience ourselves directly, which is really what mindful awareness allows us to do, is recognizing the sensations that come along with anger, jealousy, stress, excitement, and joy. We too begin to recognize that other human beings experience this exact same thing. And we have to know the dark, I'm going to call them what we label as unpleasant. Unpleasant is a much better term to use, we have to come to know that we experience in the human condition unpleasantness and these emotions that we typically may want to push away, or these emotions that are, you know, from the amygdala, anger, where, you know, you respond very quickly to that. You respond very quickly to fear because safety is key. But and so we have that, but to know that that is who we are, how we respond or how we react, and that we then have a choice. So perhaps knowing that fully, understanding and recognizing, help us to look at others when we see others as anger and reacting out of that place. And perhaps there's that opportunity for us to not have quite as much judgment and understanding a much fuller picture, because I do believe, you know, we're designed, well, we're not designed, but we operate from very much of polarity, pleasant, unpleasant. And there is a very narrow place where we don't have any experience, or we might not recognize a feeling or a sensation or thought or a judgment. It just goes on. But because we have unpleasant and pleasant, our brain will tend, of course, most often to turn towards pleasant, which is nice, you know, and helpful, but not knowing and turning towards those unpleasant things can be, I believe, detrimental. And in working with students, you know, I just shared with them, you know, The Upside to Stress, which was a beautiful YouTube by Kelly McGonigal, who recognized in her research, she's a health psychologist and, you know, was on the TED Talk, was talking about how she felt like she had, you know, been giving kind of misinformation out there saying stress is bad for you. And she recognized that there are key components that are beneficial for stress. It's all about how we frame it. If we see it as negative, then of course we begin to have the impact on the cardiovascular system. However, if we see it as and can recognize it, oh, our body is getting prepared for a challenge, for what we are, our framework is viewing as a challenge, then the cardiovascular system won't be impacted. And the other upside to it is that since we are, as I've mentioned, social beings, it has us reach out to others, which I think, you know, can very well be. So that's why maybe when we are feeling stressed, we might want to vent, we might seek out someone for comfort. So if we can see it as valuable and then know we do have a choice to reframe it, as well as seek someone out and share, or a friend, or just be with someone. Because I do get worried, Joyce, you know, with stress, we have those thoughts that go over and over and over again in our brain. And if we keep talking about it over and over and over again, then there's a way that we're just kind of deepening the groove in that pathway. So there's a way to be with stress and share, you know, our body sensations and put out what we're experiencing, but just not to keep reliving it over and over again, because otherwise...
Well, when you do that, you're right. You reinforce it tremendously.
Right.
And as the saying goes, what you think about, you bring about. So when you focus on the negative, you tend to create more of same, the law of attraction. When you focus on the positive, you're like a magnet that will create that. But wouldn't you say it takes a tremendous amount of discipline not to be judgmental and not to react to negative stimuli?
Right. And the idea is, I mean, you know, you said not to be judgmental. Perhaps we could consider reframing it, is to know that we are judgmental and let those thoughts go by. Oh, isn't it interesting? I just made a judgment. Oh, I just said something about that person. I watched the thought go right through my head, but not latch on to that as the ultimate truth. So because that's my judgment, that means it must be true. It truly is just a judgment. It's just a thought, a split-second neurochemical reaction that somehow is coming out of some framework in our brain. When we were talking a little bit with students about the complexity of the brain, and Rick Hansen's done a tremendous amount of work. He talked about, and I chuckled at this, it's like we can have thought A go to thought B in a very sequential way. So like, I'm going to be making cookies, so I need to take out the butter, and I'm going to get the measuring spoons out. And then all of a sudden, this like non sequitur comes in, like, gee, I wonder how many miles per gallon my car gets. You know, it's kind of like, wait a minute, where did that come from? And it just shows that the complexity of the brain is something that is more complex than the solar system, in my opinion, and more vast. So for us to understand that some things just percolate out of who knows where, and do we have to know where they come from? No. You know, therapy can help with that. But just to say, I am judgmental. We all are judgmental because we had to be discerning to survive.
Want to say about being discerning and being judgmental, I have a very strong judgment that I want to pass on to all our listeners. I believe it strongly, and I invite you to be judgmental, and that is about our show. And the judgment is to listen to it every day, get inspired. It is designed to make a positive impact like today. And hearing the words of our health guru is why you should be listening.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day, a way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce, Barry, and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we do ask you to partner up with us in having that happen. Simply go to Joyce Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and friends.com, and spelled out, Joyce Barry and friends.com. And right under my picture on the upper left, it says follow. And simply by clicking on that, you need not miss any of our shows, any of our guests, any of our special topics, because you will be apprised of what we're doing. The good news is, if you can't join us when we are live at 11 a.m. Eastern, you can listen to our shows 24/7. All shows are archived. Our 8 years of shows are all in there. On the upper right of the homepage, you can put in the guest that you'd like to hear. Like today, you're hearing Martha Rulo. If you want to hear about her other show, when it was, you can just put in her name. And by the way, Rulo is R-O-U-L-E-A-U. You put that in, and you will find out that Martha did a great show with us on June 22nd, 2018. We did a whole show on mindfulness. So that would come up in the search bar. You could put the topics in, and that will come up. It's an extraordinary website where you have the information at your fingertips. 8 years of our shows, they are all right there, 24/7. You can listen, download, send out the links. And when you find the show you like, you simply click on it, and you will have it. I just want to go to our studio and see. We have some listeners. 303-515, do you care to ask a question or make a comment? 303-515. Okay, it's a silent listener, which is fine. It wasn't in the host queue. but I sometimes, you know, click on someone that isn't and give them a chance if that might interest them. So we were talking about Martha and teaching, and the universities are picking up on it. So how credible is the science of mindfulness?
Right. Joyce, science has become increasingly credible. And, you know, major universities have research. There's years of research that have been coming about. So I think that's what's real exciting for me, is that because the research is credible, that people are believing it more, you know, and recognizing mindfulness as a personal tool for, you know, your own well-being. And it's not that you're practicing mindfulness to become necessarily an enlightened being, or there's some sort of, you know, need for, you know, what should I say, you know, becoming really spiritual. It's really more about, there's science out there, I can impact my brain so that I can have more room, more space to respond, as opposed to react out of those old patterns. But it takes step by step by step. You know, every time you sit and practice, that's another step. Every time you don't, and you begin to just say, hey, what's this about? You're beginning to know those unpleasant places. Perhaps you're recognizing, you know, I'm a procrastinator, or perhaps whatever it is, it's okay, because we have to take each step so we have a path. There's no leaping to this. And so it's very much, I've given this analogy a lot. It's like, you know, two roads, the one you drive all the time, you know, if it was a dirt road, there's no grass growing up on it. But if you didn't drive another road, this new road, it would take a while to make that be the more habitual way of going. So it does take that practice. And that's the other piece I want to bring in right now, Joyce, if you don't mind, is the idea of, as we do our practice and recognize that, oh my goodness, I can have more ease and well-being, we have to hold this all very lightly and kindly and with friendliness towards ourselves. Because, you know, it can be a little bit overwhelming for us to say, here I go again. I'm working with my stress, but this was just a horrible experience I'm having right now with it. And then we start judging ourselves, and we start having additional layers of thoughts coming in, of criticizing ourselves, and then we can be unmerciless towards ourselves. So it's the idea, when we understand it, that this is just this moment, it's just this step, it's just this experience, and that we all are beginners. Every moment we show up, we're beginners. And the hope is that over time we've created that resource of tools to support our inner refuge. So I really say that having kindness and compassion towards ourselves is really what's incredibly important as we do this.
One of the things you had said to me was that people aren't really masters of mindfulness. They're not really gurus, because they're engaged in learning all the time. How much can you learn? How much is there to go on and on for years and still not being willing to call yourself a guru or a master? You're doing this a long time.
Right. Well, that, you know, the way, and I believe this, though, Joyce, wholeheartedly, that every time I sit down, I'm a beginner. And I do think if you talked with any of the people who are practice mindfulness, I'd be curious what the Dalai Lama thinks, but that we don't really have the need to call ourselves anything. You know, maybe a teacher, you know, I consider myself a coach. I believe I have a skill set to be a consultant. But I wouldn't call myself a master, because it says I've attained something. And if we really look at the experience, this experience of being human, there's really no finality of where we're ever going to get, where we are totally probably few people do. I should give credit to the few people that have, such as the Buddha and who said he was enlightened. But we just really are here to be able to have such a fullness of experience, and it changes all the time. So it's almost like, as Jon Kabat-Zinn says, you know, really, there's nowhere to go besides here in this moment. So you become more skilled. That's what feels better for me. And there's people that have been practicing more, and they have more experience, and they have more of the head part too, of the science and neuroscience, which I totally love and feel is really valuable to help others buy into mindfulness. But it ultimately comes down to our individual practice that helps us.
I want to say that mindfulness is a great science. And as we mentioned earlier, people, for the most part, are thinking about tomorrow or dwelling in the past. And what I hear most often as a coach is that people believe in something even when they do, and they'll get to it someday. So I wrote this for all of those who actually believe there is a someday. Someday, an original poem by yours truly, Joyce Barry. I went to my calendar and took a look. I discovered that someday was not in the book. I looked carefully, for someday I did seek, but only Monday through Sunday appeared on each week. I got really confused. This was not funny. I always said someday I'd make very good money. I always said someday I'd get everything done. I always said someday I'd be number one. I always said someday this and someday that. Someday is starting to sound like very old hat. I became very sure that something was wrong. No someday on my calendar all along. I thought everything I wanted would come to be. It would happen someday, I kept telling me. It was someday, I kept telling you, that all our dreams were sure to come true. How shocking to discover that all along, someday was not in the calendar. How could I be so wrong? How could I not know that why I was stuck was that someday would never, ever show up? There wasn't a calendar anywhere, none to be found, that had someday in it, it would never come around. I always knew that if something is going to be, I am totally responsible. It's all up to me. I thought of my goals and made a new list. How exciting to realize that someday did not exist. Now I really know without any doubt that Monday through Sunday is in and someday is out. So I ask you, women, I ask you, men, I ask myself, if not right now, when? So as you can see, someday it really brings home the point even more so about being in the moment, about all there is the present moment. Someday doesn't exist.
Right. That's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Someday does not exist. It's right here and right now. And yes, and speaking along that line is too, is that I think the research is coming out. Not that I think. I know the research is coming out because I'm looking at a book by Rick Hansen called Hardwiring Happiness. And the idea is that we, by living for someday, we're hoping we might experience something good. We're anticipating when we forget that right here and now, there is a lot of good things. I think I, you know, recently having a root canal, I was noticing on how much time I noticed the pain. And then what I realize is there's a whole lot of time, there's no pain. But I'm typically going to when there is the pain. And our brains, you know, as we've talked about, I think in June we talked a little bit about that, is designed to focus and remember the negative. so that we can survive. It's an old survival technique, is we have to be able to say, oh gosh, I ate this berry, it doesn't work, I'm not going to eat it again. So we're kind of looking for, scanning and looking for what will help us feel safe on many levels and what we don't feel safe with. So I realize, and so that's why there's this research that's being done now about how we can help ourselves in this moment, take in the good and embody it. So it's not just a quick glance of, oh, isn't that pretty? You know, particularly up here, in Virginia, the leaves are changing, and I know in Connecticut they're changing. So how can we look at the leaves and not just kind of be very glib about saying, oh, aren't they pretty? It's like, how can we stop, use our senses, sight, perhaps if we're outside, sense of smell, sense of sensation, you know, touch on our cheek, and just be there and breathe it in multiple times and let our body experience it, because we have to embody the good. It's always nice to say, oh, that was nice, but taking time to go back and remember the sensations of that experience.
Martha, I'd like you to talk about the, you know, we're kind of like winding up here, so I want to cover a few more things. What can you tell us about the oxygen mask theory?
Right. The oxygen mask theory is a little bit of what I've been talking about. And what it is when you're on an airplane, Joyce, you know, they always say, if you have a young one with you, to put the oxygen mask on you first if you need it before assisting someone sitting next to you. So that really refers directly to how we are in the world, how we are with ourselves is how we are in the world. So by using mindfulness or whatever we want, knowing ourselves and knowing that we have the opportunity to respond as opposed to reacting out of habit patterns is really gives us the opportunity to impact everyone else around us.
Yeah, that always makes an impact when you hear that you're there with a little child and they're saying you must put yours on first. The maternal instinct is take care of your kid. But if you don't
right.
do you first, you might not be able to take care of your kid. And what about the impact of research on so many things? Where does it impact the most, in your opinion, the research? What shows up as the greatest impact?
So the research is just showing the impact on, stress reduction, the impact in the body through being able to change the brain. And I think that's the big piece. It's shown that we can have choice. We don't have to be the habituated reactors out of the patterns that we typically have. So by doing that, though, there's a whole myriad of other benefits to the body, so that our cortisol doesn't get up, our cardiovascular system is impacted in a positive way. And so then, of course, our whole well-being, so we can find a greater sense of ease. So that's right now where it's at. But I do want to highlight the research making the impact that we need to honor the good experiences, if not more so than recognizing the bad experiences. So research shows us over and over again, it's like we are the creator of our own health and well-being.
I want to talk a bit more about gratitude, because I really do believe that's a very important thing, to focus on what you're grateful for. And what says it best for me is this poem by Wynne, W-Y-N-N-E. I just like to share that with our
folks.
Being
thankful, and this is submitted by Wynne. Be thankful that you don't already have everything you desire. If you did, what would there be to look forward to? Be thankful when you don't know something, for it gives you the opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times. During those times, you grow. Be thankful for your limitations, because they give you opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge, because it will build your strength and character. Be thankful for your mistakes. They will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you're tired and weary because it means you've made an effort. It is easy to be thankful for the good things. A life of rich fulfillment comes to those who are also thankful for the setbacks. Gratitude can turn a negative into a positive. Find a way to be thankful for your troubles, and they will become your blessings.
That really hits home for me because it's so easy to be thankful for all that's good, but to be thankful for everything, that's being in the moment. And I come from there's a reason for everything. So when something is not so good in our world, I look for that reason and I try to be thankful for it. What do you want to say about that, Martha?
No, that's a beautiful poem, and the work of Dr. Emmons, who has written the book Gratitude Works, really indicates through his research that gratitude strengthens relationships, improves health, reduces stress, and in general really does make us happier. So I believe exactly as you said, you mentioned earlier about, taking lemons and turning it into lemonade, there's such benefit to that. We have to work at that. And it doesn't mean, the other piece about mindfulness is when people say, I'm supposed to become free from thoughts. No, our thoughts are there, like we talked about with judgment. So when things feel difficult, we don't pretend they don't feel difficult. We honor the fact that we are experiencing something difficult. And then we also make a point to say some of the things that were said in the poem, what might this be teaching me, or what might this be showing me? But gratitude is an embodied experience that we can have. So when we think about what, again, like I was talking about earlier, is how can we embody that experience of gratitude and gratefulness that, oh my gosh, I do have this. I do have this opportunity. As opposed to just using the cognitive, the lip service. It's embodying what the body feels like when we are grateful. And, just as our brain can get habituated for many things, it can get habituated. Because they say, for example, when you go to bed, say three things you're grateful for, and that can make a change. I do believe that. Dr. Emmons has come up with a 21-day pattern for a gratitude journal where it's like every 3 days, or there's a pattern of three, and then you go back to the initial pattern because it says the brain, if you say, I'm grateful for this, the brain will get very used to that, and that can become a habit. So it is interesting, but
how do you spell that doctor's name? What's his full name, and how do you spell it? You referenced him a few times.
Yes, his name is Emmons, last name Emmons.
And what's his first name?
Richard, I believe.
Okay, and did you say he has a book out?
Yep. It's called Gratitude Works.
I totally believe in the gratitude journal. I have it. I use it. I recommend it to my clients as well. I really, really believe in it. And folks, when you keep a journal, it's okay that you're grateful for the same things on different days. You don't have to be original every day, another thing to be grateful for. You could add to it. You could repeat the ones you have, whatever works for you. But I really do believe in a gratitude journal. And the name of his book is Gratitude Works?
Yes, Gratitude Works.
I agree. Coach Joyce here, I totally agree. Folks, if you want to drop a note to Martha Rulo, her email is M, like in Martha, N, like do it now, be in the moment, Rulo, R-O-U-L-E-A-U, at Comcast.com. .net. That's mnorulo@comcast.net. And feel free to send me an email at coachjoyce@aol.com. You can write to me anything you wish about the show, the guests, the topic, any suggestions, any referrals for great guests that could be ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And we even have five-star authors, business leaders. So we love to hear from our loyal listeners. I do read the emails. That's CoachJoyce@AOL.com. And also what I want to say, if you're getting the hang of this, and it's all about being in the moment, enjoying the moment, being grateful for the moment, I wrote this poem to drive that point home, if not now, when? Joyce, Barry, and Friends, the number one worldwide internet radio show. This poem, an original by yours truly, is entitled, If Not Now, When? We are giving you the education. We are giving you the information. We are giving you the motivation. We are giving you the inspiration. What you really need to do is to put this into application. Do you want a transformation? You must use your imagination. It might take some perspiration. It's all in the preparation. You must really be sure there is no procrastination. It helps to have a fascination and very strong determination. You want a positive demonstration, achieve success in the administration. It really is the time. Give each show your consideration. What is your aspiration? What do you need for stimulation? To get healthy and off that medication, to get wealthy, it's your destination. So make today the day for your participation. If you do, congratulations. If not now, when? Special thanks to our friend Ted Siuba, who puts our poetry to music. We're very grateful. And Ted Siuba is the author of about 25 books. He's the world's biggest, shall we say, fan and one who really understands the work of Napoleon Hill. So he's a master at so much, so many books, and he's a regular on our show as well. And with all that, he has time to put our poems to music. What do you want to say to folks as you wrap up the show, Martha? What message do you want to leave them?
Well, first, I'd like to clarify that it's actually Robert Emmons and not Richard Emmons. So I did get that. Want to make sure that's accurate. I think, in this world, I think sometimes it's easy to feel a little helpless. We see so much going on, all these natural disasters. And I really would like to offer people a sense of hope, help them realize that who they are each and every day is truly enough. And who they are each and every day, they can make a positive impact with one other person. And that is truly enough, because I believe in the domino and the ripple effect like we talked about. But it does begin with us being able to honor, respect, and know all parts of ourselves and hold them kindly, and then make the decision, what kind of wise action do I want to take next? And we all have that potential. I believe that we truly are filled with natural warmth, intelligence, and joy, as Pema Chodron would say. And I think sometimes we can miss out on honoring that true aspect of ourselves.
So Martha, excellent show. I really want to thank you. Love to have you here. Very important topic. Promise to have you back again soon. And I want to wrap up by telling you folks, go out and make someone happy today. Go out and do a random act of kindness. Pay it forward. If not now, when? Think about being in the moment, cherishing the moment. And here is my special prayer for all of you. May yesterday be the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May today be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life, with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make this the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. We want to invite you folks to laugh along with us, sing along with us, and dance along with us. We want to make you happy today and every day. You can start that right here, right now. Enjoy the Joyce Barry Mash. Thank you. God bless you.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry mash.
Joyce Barry mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry mash. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again. As Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry mash.
Joyce Barry mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry mash.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun. She's
wow.
a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry mash.
Joyce Barry mash.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry mash.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and friends.